Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
The call came down. The big green guy was being sent on a mission and would not be available for action on this Sunday morning. It was up to the green team to step up and get the job done. They had two choices: go green or go home. Wait, that's one choice, but I digress. Their leader, the raven-haired Empress of Energy, Lisa Albrecht, scuba gear and volleyball at the ready. At her side, in the sparkly headsets that give her superpowers, Sarah, one more Bloody Mary, please, Batka. The man in the booth, Rob, milkweed is not a real weed, Carthol. If anybody can make the connection, he can. Spinning the dials, Denny, Sparks, Sheeter. His chrome dome blinding anybody who would get in his way. Bringing up the rear, the rookie, Carol, we need an extra spoon brewer. A utility player. From phones to Facebook to Twitter, Brewer can do it all. Together, they are the Green Team. Their two-hour mission, to boldly grow where no one has grown before. This is the Mike Novak Show.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets hard to find, temperate zones and tropic climes, true currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. Here he is, Mike Novak.
All right. Well, technically, he isn't here. As you heard in the intro, we are flying solo. The inmates are in charge of the prison.
That was awesome.
That was a fabulous intro.
Thanks, Mike.
That was great. I have to admit, I have on my bikini because I'm headed to the beach after this. And he did not know that. So great, great intros. Thanks so much, Mike. This is Lisa Albrecht. I'm here on the Mike Novak Show. I have Rob Carthol, Sarah Batka, and we've got Carol Brewer in the back, and, Denny's thankfully sitting at the helm steering the ship while the rest of us, kind of figure out what we're doing and, move this along. We've got 2 hours here to, just have a good time today. So how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Doing great.
Awesome.
Good.
Carol, are you there?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
It's Carol's birthday, by the way.
Yes, happy birthday.
Working on her birthday.
Yes. Slaving away here.
Carol, I made you a strawberry rhubarb shortcake.
I saw it and I'm very excited.
For your birthday.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It looks delicious.
I hope it's good.
I'm sure it is. But whipped cream's the reason for, you know, it masquerades anything that isn't. All right. Well, we've got a big show for you guys today. We're going to have Rob Gardner calling in, talking about farmers markets as we start to kick off the farmer market season. In studio, we have Jessica Rinks from Purple Leaf Farms as she launches her CSA for the season, and we'll get into CSAs and understand all that. And then following that up with Rick DeMaio at 9:45 and Dew Weather. And then for the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to talk bikes for everybody who biked to work this week. We're going to recap that and see how that went. And we've got folks in from West Town Bike, and we're going to run down and understand the programs that they've got there for youth education. And
they have a big fundraiser coming up. We'll talk about that in July. Yeah. That I'm excited for.
And then we'll wrap things up with Mike Webb from Inspiration Cafe, Inspiration Kitchens, and that'll be our 2 hours. So,
where exactly is Mike, by the way? Did he say in that intro that was an awesome intro?
No, right? He said he is taking the day off. That's what he said for us.
Nothing wrong. He's
with
on
that. A secret mission.
Okay, nice.
Right. I think the man works pretty hard. I don't know if does he. For the time that I've been listening to the show, I've only heard him not in the air once.
Yeah, he hardly takes breaks. I remember we did this last year at about this time.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. Mike Novak likes June. I think
so. I hope he's out and having a great time today.
Absolutely, we all do.
Yeah. All right, so. Rob, you wanted to touch a little bit before we jump into Rob Gardner, big news with genomes.
Yeah, there's some good news, actually. Once in a while, we actually have some good news. And there was Supreme Court, some good news involving the Supreme Court. That's pretty crazy. But our Monsanto-funded Supreme Court has decided that the human genome may not be patented.
Woo.
Obviously, there are a lot of crazy legalities and technicalities, and I'm sure there's going to be some catches here. But the overall gist of it is that your genes are your genes, and you cannot become the genetic property of anyone. This is, I think, going to have some long-term big deal ramifications that we don't even know what kind of ramifications this is going to be, because this is all territory that is still unfolding. But the unanimous decision is that your human genetic material is your human genetic material, and that cannot be patented by anyone else, which I think is a pretty good start.
And what was interesting to me is the whole Monsanto conversation. So it'll be really interesting to see how that evolves and takes it the next step forward, because if human genes cannot be patented, why should plant and other natural genes? Because that was the big conversation, was that natural genes, if it happens naturally,
right,
that it cannot be, but synthetics can.
Genetically altered or manipulated genes that are not naturally occurring may still be patented. But those genes that you're born with are your genes.
Yeah.
So that's
so it'll be
news.
Interesting. Big props to the Supreme Court for figuring that one out. Seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, that's whatever. Good. That's right up their alley then.
Anyway, so let's.
That's a very interesting topic. And if you out there listening would like to put your two cents in, 773-763-9278. 773-763-9278.
Or you can find us on Facebook or tweet us at Mike Now.
Awesome. All right. Well, with that, we're going to bring in Rob Gardner from the local beat, which if you have not checked out his website, definitely make sure that you head out there, thelocalbeat.com, for all the information that you can possibly imagine regarding local farmers markets, not just Chicago, but the Chicagoland area. There were over 175 markets that were listed. If you see something that, you know, isn't quite right, he definitely is looking for foot soldiers to help him keep the information accurate. CSAs,
you
name it.
If you see something, say something.
If you see something, say something. Thank you, CTA. So, Rob, are you there?
Yeah. Thanks.
Great.
For having me. Thanks for plugging our insatiable need for beat reporters, so we can never have enough.
Fantastic. Well, let me ask you, how did you end up starting the local beat in the first place?
Well, about, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago, I got this kind of crazy idea that I was enjoying the farmers market so well that could I eat all my food from the farmer's market? And I kind of convinced my family that we should start trying to eat as much of our food from locally sourced stuff.
And hence the term locavore, which I absolutely love.
So oddly enough, they went with it, and they've been with it pretty much from day one, and you know, I couldn't do it without them. So I've been a big food person and a big kind of participant in various blogs and food discussion sites and stuff. And my interest from kind of writing about different restaurants and finding the best taquerias kind of morphed into finding the best tomato or finding, an interesting farmer's market. And I started writing about it. And a friend of mine who also was a food blogger said, well, we should do something bigger than just making a blog. We should be able to be out there giving people the resources and the kind of the inspiration to do what we do, because this is something that's kind of the future of how we, we should be eating. And mm-hmm. I jumped right at it. I said, yes, with no hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that about 5 years ago, and the local beat's been, it's a labor of love and passion. So, I try and treat it like a real magazine publication, but I can't say each week it, some weeks are more full than other weeks, but
sure.
We've been doing it.
Right. And now you're actually a master gardener, and that is what your actual career is. Is that right?
No. I'm not. No, my actual career is nothing to do with food. I'm actually
okay.
But yeah, in fact, my name is Gardner, but I have a very brown thumb.
Oh, I must have read that wrong on the page. So what's kind of going on with markets this year? Here it is, the middle of June. Farmers are starting to get some produce, and starting to see them popping up around the area.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to farmers talk, and then I know you, I don't want to steal the thunder of the farmer we're going to have on in a second, but it's like, every year it's either too wet, too dry, too hot, too cold. It's like the life of a farmer is one of endless misery, and for our pleasure as consumers, luckily, and this year it's certainly been one of very late. Late farming, and I know that many farmers have said this is the latest that they've planted.
Mm-hmm.
So the markets are very much a little bit behind. I mean, it's been for weeks, it's just like greens. So the CSA box that I get each week is just lettuce, chard, kale, green. It's all delicious stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it's finally we're starting to see at the farmers market some strawberries. I saw the first summer squash yesterday. It's nice to break away from spring greens and move on in the season.
And you have a calendar on the local beat, right, of what you can find in season?
Right. We do a couple of things. We try and we do a post kind of as required, updating, what we see in season. And the thing is, the Illinois Department of Agriculture puts out a little table every year, but it's the same table. And it's very rigid, in the sense of what's in season. And in reality, it's what's in season is not rigid because it's, first of all, it's based on where we are in the state of Illinois, which mm-hmm. We're a long state. And what's in season in Chicago is a lot different than what's in season in Springfield. But second, every year is different. I mean, right now, asparagus is still in season. Last year, asparagus was in season in April. So we try and based on what we see, going out in the markets and talking to farmers and stuff, and what's in season right now, and what you can find when you go to the markets. And we try and do it year round. So we're telling you, what kind of local food you can buy in December, as much as we're telling you what kind of local food you can buy in June, when it's obviously a lot easier. And then we also do this local calendar each week. We try and highlight farm dinners, various events, workshops. The Jeannie Boutel writes it each week. She does an amazing job of finding this stuff and compiling it. I mean, it's the signature thing we do each week on the local beat is put up this local calendar. So, I mean, I highly suggest, people set their timers, to Wednesday morning around when Jeannie gets the each week's calendars up. So, you know how to be the best local board you can be each week.
Well, so that's great to know, because that's kind of like, instead of going to the newspaper and getting your local circular for Jewel and Dominic's and all the big box stores, instead go to the local beat and check out the calendar on Wednesdays to find out and plan your grocery shopping for what you're going to do over the weekend. And
exactly,
we actually put all
right.
of that yeah. up on the MikeNovak.net website. You can actually, we've got links to what's in season, the tons of activity section, which was really quite interesting, where that you guys highlight classes, workshops, all kinds of things that might be happening in the area.
Right.
Well, that's great. There's a number of other blogs that that you can find there as well. The Sustainable Cook, Backyard Gardener, which I think is a really interesting piece, and a lot of really great blogs for people to get some information on how not only maybe can they be shop local and become a locavore, but also maybe produce some of their own vegetables and produce in their own yard.
Right. I mean, we're trying to do two things really with the site. You know, one is we want to give people the ability and the resources they need to kind of eat well. So, you know, we'll have, you know, how to preserve. And we have a piece that, you know, we put together on preserving the seasonal bounty that we put up, you know, when it's kind of appropriate. You know, we tell people, you know, we have like how to build your own root cellar. I mean, how to you know, we have a, you know, guide to how to maximize your farmer's market experience. But the other thing is, you know, we want to share with people, you know, how much fun we're having, you know, how much fun we had at a farmer's market, you know, with pictures. Like last week, there was a really nice photo essay one of our contributors did of the Oak Park Farmer's Market. You know, and just, you know, when you see the pictures and you see that, you know, to me, it just makes you want to go, you know, be there at the market the next week, or, you know, you want to eat the donuts or something. And we want to, you know, to me, it's, if you see how much fun other people are having eating well, then it's going to drive you to do it. It's not just, you know, it's not just about browbeating people or giving them studies or guilt tripping them, you know, to
right,
me.
Right.
It's like that, you know, Upton Sinclair said when he wrote The Jungle, you know, he aimed for their head and hit him in the stomach. And I kind of think it's the same thing with trying to get people to eat good food.
Sure, sure. Well, you know what, Rob, we've actually got a caller online too.
Sure.
Hey, we're going to run real quick to Chris. Are you on the line?
Yeah. Hello.
Great. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hey.
I wonder if you have been to the mecca of farmers markets. I mean, the gold standard. If when you talk about farmers markets, this one farmers market is so far in advance of anything else that you couldn't even mention it.
Well, you have to tell us.
The Dane County.
Anything about Madison?
In Dane County Farmers Market in Madison.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's a little bit low. It's a bit of a drive, but it is worth it. You could eat. Very. The only thing they don't have there, unfortunately, is beer and wine. Other than that, you could be very comfortable, you know, just dining there, you know, just from what you pick up. In fact, some of the local restaurants will, you know, mention that they, the gourmet restaurants, mention that they, you know, get their provisions, you know, from the farmers, you know, at the farmer's market. So, you know, no matter what you want, if you've ever been to Madison, you've got the Capitol Square, and vendors take up every space along the inner square.
What day is that?
It's on Saturdays.
Okay, we'll have to make a little weekend trip.
Great.
Yeah, and
great.
They go 52 weeks a year, because they, in the winter, they have an indoor farmer's market also.
Oh, but, that's great to know.
And then
that's great to know.
What's really fantastic is they have a lot of heirloom products. You know, a lot of, you know, they'll have heirloom tomatoes. They'll also have heirloom apples, you know, in the fall. So it really is, you know, the best out there.
All right. Thanks for the tip, Chris.
Thanks so much, Chris. You know what, and with that, we're going to go to a quick break here, and we'll be right back with Rob Gardner from Local Beat and bringing in Jessica Rinks from Purple Leaf Farms right when we get back.
And here's a tip from one of our sponsors, The Care of Trees. The health and beauty of your trees are dependent on more than just pruning. In fact, many problems that become visible in the canopy of a tree may be attributed to problems that lie below ground. The Care of Trees has a soil care program that consists of an array of services that promote healthy soils. The soils of urban trees are often neglected, and yet tree health is dependent upon fertile soils that are alive with diverse populations of microorganisms and available nutrients. As a home and tree owner, you can assist in promoting a healthy soil environment by working with the certified arborists at The Care of Trees. Call 800-508-9000. 800-508-9466. That's 800-508-9466. Call that number for a free consultation. If you call today, leave a message, and your call will be returned tomorrow. Or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davy company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
I'm Jennifer Brennan, the smart one.
And I'm Mike Novak, the pretty one.
We're the co-hosts of Dig In Chicago,
Chicago Television's only local gardening and cooking show.
And we're thrilled to be back for our second season offering gardening tips and tours.
Plus local chefs and local dishes.
Saturday mornings at 8:30.
And this year we're on the U2 channel, 26.2.
See you there. I've got to go spread some calcium.
Ooh, I have to do my nails.
There's a reason the familiar red trucks of Christy Weber Landscaping have become so ubiquitous in and around Chicago. It's because Christy Weber knows what she's doing. She didn't start out maintaining the grounds around Grant Park and Soldier Field or installing more green rooftops than anyone else in the entire Midwest. She started out mowing lawns in Wicker Park and grew her business from there with hard work, dedication, and know-how. Christy Weber Landscaping still today handles some of the same accounts that Christy Weber started out with 25 years ago, and that's saying something. Over on Grand Street, the Farm and Garden Center provides the helpful staff and advice you'd expect from a store with Christy Weber's name on it. Lisa here was just telling me how helpful they were in getting her straightened away with some outdoor containers, and I couldn't help but notice the arbs that showed up in the Monarch Garden this weekend. Who brought those by? I'm suspecting it was James, but that's just one of the hundreds of ways in which Christy Weber is always giving something back to the community. The next time you're over at the Farm and Garden Center, make sure you ask about their free workshops. Christy Weber Landscapes, right in your own backyard. Like them on Facebook and head over to ChristyWeber.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
And we love organic pest control. It's just hard to know what approach or products to use sometimes. One will take care of caterpillars, but not beetles. Others are effective on beetles, but not aphids or thrips. That's where Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew comes in. Did I get that right? Tongue twister at 9 o'clock in the morning. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew insecticide contains spinosad, which is made by fermenting bacterium that was collected from an abandoned Caribbean rum distillery in 1982. It's not only effective, but safe to use directly on your affected plant. Captain Jack's products are available in a number of consumer-friendly formulations, concentrate, ready-to-use, ready-to-spray, and in a dust. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Pasquazi Home and Garden in Barrington and Lake Bluff, Wesco Nursery in St. Charles, or Lurvy's in Des Plaines. Or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer not near you. Don't forget to download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid and go to Bonide.com.
There goes Moses carrying his Bible book. Never has a problem, just has a cup. It's good, clean alcohol, and it builds you up. And here I'll go laughing like a fool, yeah. Things ain't working out down at the farm.
And welcome back. It is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I'm Lisa Albrecht here with Sarah and Rob, Carol and Denny filling in for Mike while he's away. And we have Rob Gardner from the Local Beat on the line. And welcome back, Rob. Thanks so much. I had one quick question about CSAs. And I saw on your website that not only do you list farmers markets locations all around Chicago, but you also have a listing of CSAs out there.
Right. We've been doing this pretty much since we started the website, and it just gets better each year. Another one of our contributors, Wendy Esselman, is kind of the CSA guru, and she, you know, goes out and doesn't wait for CSAs to just, kind of tell us about them. She finds them, and she's put together a list that's, I think, about 85 CSAs strong right now. It's fully searchable. You can look for CSAs by, zone, area that they deliver to, or that you pick them up, if they're organic. So we try and, let people pick the one that's right for them. And she writes else, we're on the site about, different kind of features with CSAs. So, CSA is a great way to be able to eat local. And there's a CSA that's right for everyone. And we try and, help you find the one that's right for you.
And connect the dots. Well, thank you so much, Rob. It's really been great having you on the show. Love to have you back.
Sure.
And if there's anything new and exciting, a market that we definitely need to check out. I saw you're right up on Oak Park. It looks like it's an amazing place to go. So let us know. Stay in touch. And we'll definitely want to keep in touch over the summer.
Right. And follow us on Twitter at thelocalbeat.com. We try and, follow as much local food stuff as we can. We're on Facebook. Those are also resources we use to help move the movement.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a great Sunday. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good one. Well, so with that, we're going to bring in Jessica Rinks, who's running a CSA. And for folks that don't know, I'm relatively new to the whole CSA world. So actually what it stands for is Community Supported Agriculture. Jessica, can you explain that a little bit for people who are not familiar with what a CSA is and how that's run and that type of thing?
Yeah. So in general, a CSA is an economic model for farmers where we can grow, a wide range of products on our farm. And we're supported by the community in that our customers can purchase the products up front at the beginning of the year. So you buy for the whole year and you get, usually it's a box of produce on a weekly basis. And different farms will work differently depending on what products they offer. Some CSAs start as early as, April and May in the Chicago area. I'm doing mostly summer crops, so my CSA is going to start in July. Some CSAs are just veggies. Sometimes you have fruit. Some farmers partner with one another. And so you may get veggies from, the farm who's providing the CSA. And then they'll also provide you with eggs from their neighbor farm or maybe organic meat or something like that, cheeses. So that's sort of moving into something that's called like a whole diet program where mm-hmm. the idea is everything you get in your box, it's not just your veggies. It's not just your veggies, but it's everything you would need for the week. In general, the great thing about a CSA is, customers are guaranteed a fresh box of veggies each week. As farmers, we value our CSAers like they're our number one customer. So mm-hmm. when I pick stuff in the field, the best stuff is going to go to the CSA boxes.
So if you want to be first in line at the farmer's market,
exactly.
Sign up for a CSA. Well, I kind of like it because it's really kind of subscription served food buying.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
You pay in advance, which gives you the capital to buy
yes.
all the products that you need in order to get the seedlings in the ground to get your farm going, and as opposed to the traditional model, which is a little upside down where you're getting paid behind.
Right.
And so it gives you, plus you also have a better understanding of kind of who's buying your food and what your market's going to be that direction. And then how many farmers markets then you might need to supplement in order to keep your produce moving.
Exactly. It definitely guarantees you a certain amount of income that you know going into the year. So if you didn't do a CSA program, you're planting all your tomatoes and you're thinking, wow, I hope I have a place to sell
sure
these later. Right. And also I like what you said about just being able to know your customer. I think another really good advantage of being a CSA customer is that you really get to know your farmer.
And that to me is really attractive. I mean, I remember seeing the movie Chuck-A-Lot and the concept that the emotion of cooking is brought out into the food. And I like bringing that even a step further back to say, listen, the person who's growing my food matters. Mm-hmm. That there's somebody who actually cares, who's out there, blood, sweat, and tears, regardless of whether it's raining or whether it's 95 degrees mm-hmm. outside, whether they're getting attacked by bugs, whatever it is, but they're out there because they love the food, they love the garden, they love their farm, and they love their customers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And a lot of CSA programs, you'll, as a CSA shareholder, you're invited out to the farm. I mean, generally, anytime you want to come, you can just come and visit. You can come and volunteer. Usually CSA farms will have a CSA appreciation event, like a dinner or something, a party at some point during the year. So it's almost like you almost sort of it's like you have a farm in the family, even though you don't really, you know.
Wow. So you can actually get out and get your hands dirty.
Oh, totally.
Or get your kids' hands dirty. Because
totally.
I like the concept of, I think so many people these days, I mean, we have such a developed society that we're so removed from our food source, mm-hmm. that I really like the idea of getting kids out so that they see what a tomato plant looks like, mm-hmm. or where did that squash come from, and maybe not be so afraid of the vegetables. They may become more curious about them and maybe expand their diet a little bit because they've actually been involved in the process and they want to eat mm-hmm. what they helped plant or grow. Or
right, totally.
On.
Yeah, you know, working with kids, generally, if a kid plants it and then harvests it, they're much more likely to want to eat it.
Right.
As opposed to just some random vegetable in the grocery store. You know, vegetables like, ooh, vegetables.
Right, but, especially anything green.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if they pulled the carrot out of the ground, it's like, whoa. And, you know, they're
sure.
just super magical and interesting. So.
Well, so this year you've expanded your farm.
Yes. So this is my third year. I started in 2010. I took a break in 2011, came back in 2012. And so this is my third year. And last year I had a quarter acre. It was more sort of an urban ag project. I was renting property from the village where I live.
Uh-huh.
And I had a quarter acre and I sold it at their farmer's market. It was a great situation and it was great to grow my items there and to sell them. Like the market was like 300 yards away. Most of the people who bought my products lived in town. So it was super, super local. But this year I had the opportunity to expand to a whole acre. So it's a quadrupling of my space.
Wow. In just a year.
Yeah, in just a year.
So how do you plan for that? I mean, was it an overwhelming winter trying to think about all the things you were going to do and what work you needed to put into it?
It was very up in the air for many months regarding where I was going to be farming this year.
Yeah.
I didn't really figure that whole thing out until, like, the 1st of May. I started a lot of seeds. I start a lot of seeds myself. Most of my plants I grow from seed myself. Many of them are you just throw them in the ground, direct sow them. But a lot I have to start at home in my greenhouse. So I just started a lot of seeds. I knew I wanted to do a lot of flowers this year. I did, in addition to the veggies, I did flower bouquets last year. And mm-hmm. people really loved those. So I thought, you know, I love flowers myself. So I thought, hey, I'll do more of those. When the acre came about, I just, basically I just bought more seeds. A lot of stuff I could direct sow in the ground that I didn't have to start ahead of time.
Right.
And this spring being so cold and it being everybody having to wait to plow up the field, it actually was good for me given the timeline of my projects, you know.
Sure, sure.
I didn't even know I was getting this property until like the 1st of May. So,
wow.
And that was about the time it was time to plow anyway. So,
well, we are talking to Jessica Rinks from Purple Leaf Farms, and she has her own CSA. Please, if you've got any questions, feel free to call us right now at WCPT, which is 773-763-9278, if you have a comment or question for Jessica. So your first box is going to be delivered in July?
Yeah. Right now I'm thinking the second week of July, like the week of July 8th. But it really depends on how things grow. You know, it might be delayed a week or two, just depending on what I have that first week. But you'll get 15 weeks. So whenever I start, 15 weeks from that date, you'll get a box each week.
Mm-hmm.
I try to offer a lot of different options because I know not everyone wants a huge box of vegetables every week. You know, maybe you live alone or, you know, it's just like two people living and, you know, you don't need a huge, or maybe you have your own garden and you just kind of want to supplement. You want to mm-hmm. support a farmer, but you don't want to pay for and get a humongous box. So I'm doing a half share option.
Okay.
I'm also doing a flowers-only option. It's just a large bouquet of fresh-cut flowers each week. And all the veggie shares, so like the full share and the half share, both come with a bouquet of flowers and herbs.
Oh, nice.
So it's I love the flowers because I feel like it's – I mean, even when I go to the farmer's market, I kind of have to think twice. I'm like, am I really going to spend money on flowers?
Right.
It seems sort of – like a special occasion thing, you know?
Right. And so, it is something that I tend to pass on. Sarah, when you're down at the farmer's market, do you pick up flowers for yourself?
No, not usually.
Yeah, I see them, and I'm always intrigued by them, and I want to, but then I see, I don't know, a zucchini that I decide I need to buy instead, and so that's what I get. So I kind of like the idea that you're, and so you're growing the flowers and the vegetables all in your
definitely
acre.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
there.
Great.
Yeah.
So again, this is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Lisa Albrecht here with Sarah, Rob, Carol, and Denny, and we're talking with Jessica from Purple Leaf Farms. So I know that you, in addition to having the CSAs, you also are at a couple of farmers markets.
Yes. Speaking of farmers markets. So as of like Friday, I have now committed to do 4 farmers markets.
4?
Yeah.
Your website only has 2.
I know. Well, it's they've all kind of come to me in the last couple weeks. So I will be doing the Tuesday market, Tuesday, 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Columbus Park. That's in Chicago at Harrison and Central. I will be doing the Thursday morning market, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Hines Veterans Hospital in Hines, which is just to the west of the city. There will also be a new surprise, not on my website yet, Elgin Evening Market. So my plot is located in Elgin, and Elgin has a wonderful daytime market on Thursday, but there's also going to be a small producer-only evening market.
Well, and that was something I was hoping to talk to Rob a little bit about. At thelocalbeat.com, you can see some of the evening markets, because for me, it's very difficult for me to get out to mm-hmm. a day market. Even with the mornings, you know, starting at 7 a.m., I'm mm-hmm. usually at the gym, so it's not that easy, and so I find I'm not the farmer's market shopper that I would like to be. So you're going to be doing an evening one in Elgin.
Yes. And evening markets are becoming more popular, I think. Like I know, I believe Logan Square is having an evening market. I want to say Wednesday evenings. Riverside has an evening market also on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. I think market organizers are trying to find ways to attract shoppers who do have different schedules.
Right.
Because like you said, not everybody can come on a Saturday morning. Not everybody can come, you know, in the middle of the day on a weekday. So if any time you have free, there's usually a market open. I don't know of any, like, midnight markets, although that would be pretty cool.
And then maybe some of the people from my 24-hour gym will show up over there.
Yeah. I do know some markets that take place at bars, but they're usually during the day. So, and also, I will be doing the Elmwood Park Market, which is Sundays 9 to 1.
Well, be sure to let us know when those markets are so that we can get that posted on mm-hmm. Mike's website, which is mikenovak.net. And we'll have all the links up to Jessica's farm and to Purple Leaf. And we wish you a ton of luck this season. Congratulations on quadrupling the size of your business.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited. I'm so excited.
Great. All right. Well, thank you for coming in. Stay in touch this summer, and we hope to hear great success at the end of the season.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you. Here's a question for you. Will planting a redbud improve your chances of winning the lottery? Answer, probably not, but planting a redbud will definitely add beauty to your life. That's the philosophy of Platte Hill Nursery in Bloomingdale and Carpentersville. Platte Hill Nursery carries more than 200 varieties of bedding plants, including Gomphrena, Clown Rose, Polka Dot Plant, Berwalia, Calendula, and many others. The Platte Hill Nurseries are like your hometown bakery. They just grow plants instead of baking bread, and they have the same old-time devotion to quality and service that you experience with a locally owned specialty retailer. Platte Hill strives to give each plant just right cultural care, properly pruned, faithfully fertilized, hand-watered by experts, and cultured to eliminate diseases and insects. Platte Hill is located in Carpentersville on Randall Road, just 3 miles north of I-90, and in Bloomingdale on Lake Street, US 20, just 3 miles west of I-355. Go to PlatteHillNursery.com or like them on Facebook. Platte Hill is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Do you sometimes think that creating a beautiful garden is just another episode of Mission Impossible? If so, you probably don't have a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. This publication is always full of practical advice that you can take right into your backyard and put to use. For example, the May-June issue attempts to answer the question, how do you keep lavender plants alive in the Midwest? Here's a tip. It has something to do with winter, wind, and clay soil. But you'll need to pick up the magazine to get the full answer. Speaking of tough problems, the Ask the Experts column features the question, what three plants would you combine in a large container that will provide a major impact in a sunny spot? Three experts give their suggestions, and one of them happens to be Dr. Wally from Berthold's Garden Center. Then there's Mike's column on the back page. Three experts were asked to explain what it meant. All of them were stumped. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. DR Service. And with that, we are back. You are listening to the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And we are bringing in, no surprise to our listeners, Rick DeMaio. Rick, how are you doing?
Good morning. How are you? And happy Father's Day. And
happy Father's Day. I should be saying it to all the dads out there. I'm not sure if we have any dads in the studio.
I'm not sure either.
Right.
any fathers that may be fathers, but they don't know about it.
Right. Rob said he's not sure. Well, Rick, how's it going?
Great. Yeah, we finally got a sunny, warm day out there. I think this is what everybody's been waiting for I guess about 9 months. Would you say
sunshine
and pleasant temperatures on a Sunday?
And tell me, it's gonna be this way all day, right? Because as soon as the show's over, I already have on my bikini. I'm headed to the beach.
Yeah, there's absolutely no chance of any rain coming out of this air mass today. We've actually stabilized quite a bit, even though we had a wave of storms that came through yesterday morning. We had another one that came through last night. Strangely enough, the stuff that came through last night kind of split us. Stuff to the south and stuff to the north. They need stuff to the north up in Wisconsin. They don't need that to the south, where, you know, some parts, believe it or not, of central Illinois have had over 2 feet of rain since the 1st of March. We've had almost two feet of rain since the 1st of January, but they definitely don't need any more rain down to the south of us. And the good news is I think everybody tends to dry out over the next couple of days. So very, very encouraging news, at least over the short term, at least the next 3 to 5 days.
Right. Well, that storm that came through here Wednesday.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a couple of different angles that you can talk about that. You can talk about the fact that, you know, we were under a high risk, this three risk, this slight, moderate, and high for severe weather. And you don't normally see high risk here in Chicago. In fact, that was only the third time in the last 13 years that we've been under a high risk. And the fact that it was issued by the Storm Prediction Center during a time when you had the Blackhawks, you know, obviously, and the Boston Bruins playing game one of the Stanley Cup, made a lot of people very, very nervous. And my feelings on that is the Storm Prediction Center probably, you know, looked back at what had happened in Oklahoma City on the 30th of May when you had so many people in their cars stuck, not knowing where to go, not knowing what to do, and this potential large-scale, severe weather event occurring in a very, very populated area, probably raised the risk level. And I think they also raised the attention of a lot of people. Everybody was talking about it. The problem was it didn't turn out to be that bad. So human nature says you tell someone you're going to get something and they don't get it. Mm-hmm. And what's the outcome is they go, well, why didn't it happen?
Right. Well, and that was what a lot of my friends were saying, because when they started actually predicting a derecho, I was like, whoa, I can't remember ever hearing newscasters say these are great conditions for a derecho. People need to take cover. So I was suggesting to folks, you know, hey, I'm watching the game from home. And by the way, the United Center and the NHL are in contact with the National Weather Service to decide whether this game is even happening, and then to see Metra canceling lines, there was, you know, an awful lot of caution thrown out there, which is a good thing.
I think some of it was a little bit overdone, and I think when you know, in my circle of professionalism, we talk amongst ourselves about the possibility of something like this happening, and it always seems to happen where if you start to say that something could happen, and you have one person say it could, another person say it could, another person say it could, and then it almost gets the ball rolling, and, you know, talk shows pick up on it, news reports start talking about it. And then the problem is you begin to cheerlead it, and then you begin to wish cast it, and that's not good. And I think this was an example of understanding our limits of what we can and cannot do with severe weather events. And even myself included, you know, I did a couple of radio hits, and when the people on the other end were asking me about it, I said, slow down, let's not talk about this thing that hasn't even developed yet. You know, Basically, derecho is a large line of wind-driven thunderstorm, if you want to call it. It's kind of like a bow on like a bow and arrow that begins to curve, kind of like a backward C. And the word derecho means straight line. So this usually moves in a straight line. And what was predicted to happen was this area of thunderstorms that's going to develop over northern Iowa, southern areas of Minnesota and Wisconsin, and move right across Illinois during the height of the beginning of the game. People going to the game, people being in the game. Even the NHL commissioner said, what would happen if we had power go out? And I'm thinking to myself, whoa, we are putting the cart way before the horse here. Slow down. Let's talk about what could happen in the short term, and not what might happen 3 or 4 hours out. And I think that was the problem with that event. And in the end, it ended up being not that bad, even though there was a couple of small, you know, tornadoes, a couple of events that produced 80 to 100 mile per hour winds briefly in Northwest Indiana. You push that 50 miles north, and yes, you can get something significant. But even then, the event was much, much less than what anybody had predicted.
Well, and I agree with your comment that, you know, maybe that desensitizes people down the road too, when you predict something this big, right, and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I was getting messages from a couple of schools that I teach at. They said actually that the school was going to be canceled for the afternoon, and I was like, you're canceling school on something that hasn't even been close to happening?
Right. Well, and I heard that they kept kids in Evanston in the after-school programs. They weren't letting them on the buses. They kept them until the warnings were over.
Oh, yeah. See, that's going too
And so
far.
There were some parents that were like, I just want my kids.
That's going too far. That's unfortunate that something like that has to occur, even though there were a couple of tornado warnings. And I know I had done a live radio hit at about 5:45 with the station down in Joliet, and the guy got on the phone, and he's saying, Rick, we have tornado warnings going off. Sirens going off, even though there was no tornado warnings, and that was only because there were very low-hanging, dark clouds. And I basically had to calm him down and say, look, there's no tornadoes, there's no tornado warning. He goes, well, what about the sirens? Well, the sirens are being issued or being sent off by the local emergency managers or the municipalities. That has nothing to do with an actual tornado warning. Sometimes they'll send them off, even if they think that there's a chance. And that's the problem as well, with knowing what to do and how to get it done. So I think this event kind of taught us a lot about, you know, getting information that's out there, that's good, that's useful, and eventually not overdoing it, because the next time you could have something, you know, that could ultimately be a lot more, you know, of a severe consequence. So right. there was a lot of discussion amongst people, amongst myself, about how we handle it and how the word derecho got out of hand.
Yeah, no, it did. Well, and but I think, you know, as parents and having watched what happened in Oklahoma, to not panic and think, okay, you know, this is the end of the school day. We've got not only, you know, people commuting from work, but we've got kids on buses and
right.
and everything else. So I can kind of see the knee jerk and the fear. But yeah, just trying to figure out that balance, which I would imagine, you know, in your job is really hard because on one hand you have public safety to consider, on the other hand you need to kind of temper that with panic and mayhem.
Right,
so.
Right. And you know what? It always goes. It's always true that the fear is not of the known. The fear is more of the unknown. Uh-huh. And most people will be very, very fearful of what might happen, and because it hasn't happened, and obviously you see news reports in the past of a line of cars 5 miles long on Interstate 40 in Oklahoma City, and you have a tornado coming toward you, people go, that could happen to us.
Yeah.
And most likely it couldn't, but you know what? If there was a 10 to 15% chance of that happening, do you want people to know about it? And obviously the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. So part of you says, I don't want to go overboard. And the other part says, okay, let's think about this. And I think that's still, it's a good discussion to have because it makes everybody aware of you know, what you're able to do and what you're completely capable of doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things that we saw in Oklahoma and with the recent storms, all through the tornado belt, is just that the tools that you have at your disposal are helping you be even more accurate than when I was in school. But
right,
I mean,
right.
that certainly is helpful too. That you guys just, you know, that the weather forecasting service has so much more data and so much more resources available.
And you know what? It goes beyond that. It's now TV stations with helicopters that are sending up crews with cameras attached to the bottom of the helicopter, pointing to where a tornado is and then showing it to the viewers. I mean, we've gone beyond having even a Doppler radar saying this is where the storm is and someone on TV pointed to it. Now we actually have helicopters chasing them. And, you know, in light of what happened on the 30th, and I knew to the people who were killed, to the storm chasers, we've gone back and say, hey, look, is this the right way to look for stuff? Is this the right way to warn people?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the answer still is yes, but the problem is we have so many more people doing it that it becomes dangerous. It doesn't become scientific. It's like having, you know, okay, we're going to have an expedition of Mount Everest. Great, we have five people going up there. Can you imagine if we had four or five other different groups of four or five different people going up to Everest at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Tons of storm tracking enthusiasts, I guess you would call them, running out.
Yeah,
is that what you're suggesting?
And they're not even scientists. They're people with, you know, smartphones that have Wi-Fi, that have radar, say, hey, let's go. And then not only that, but they're chasing the chasers.
Uh-huh.
And then you end up having 100 vehicles surrounding a big storm. And when something turns to the left, as it did with the El Reno tornado, you have something like that. Clearly, we don't have anything like that here in Illinois. We just don't have the type of weather, nor do we have the type of people that go after it.
Mm-hmm.
So, in any event, I know we only have about a minute left, so we'll get to the weather here. Beautiful day today, a lot of sunshine, a lot of warm weather coming back at us. As I mentioned before, over 24 inches of rain so far since the 1st of January, and about 2.5 inches in some areas, about 2 inches officially out of air for the month of June, which is running about 2.5 degrees below normal. So mid-80s today, mid-80s tomorrow, mid-80s Tuesday. And then it looks like a little bit of a cool down comes through. Actually, I should have said mid-80s today and tomorrow, then cooler for Tuesday. And it looks like temperatures maybe only in mid to upper 70s for Tuesday, Wednesday. So some good weather this week, and we're going to dry out and warm up.
Love it.
Thanks, Rick.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Rick. And we will be right back. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And we'll be back at the top of the hour.
The groove slightly transformed. just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove?
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Bertold's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. This is one of Wally's favorite tips. He says you should clean your pruners with rubbing alcohol before you prune, not bleach because it's corrosive. Put a sponge soaked in rubbing alcohol in a Ziploc bag. Make a hook from a large paperclip. Hang the bag with the alcohol sponge from your belt next to your pruners. Be sure to clean tools of dirt and debris before disinfecting. After wiping your pruning tools, be sure to wipe away excess disinfectant to avoid injuring the next plant. The point is that diseases can be transferred to a healthy plant from a pruner that was just used on a diseased one. With Wally's system, disinfectant is right at hand, and it's a good reminder to clean your pruners as you work. Bertold's Garden Center is at 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front or go to bertholdsgardencenter.com. Bertholds, get green. Let's get growing.
This is Chicago's Progressive Talk, WCPT, AM and FM, in the Mike Novak program. Coming up, the 10 o'clock hour. Make sure you stick around right now. Your AP Radio News. You are listening to Chicago's Progressive Talk, WCPT, AM and FM. This hour of the Mike Novak program is brought to you by the Care of Trees, Alsip Home and Nursery, also brought to you by Recycled Granite, and let us not forget Bertholdt's Garden Center. This is the 10 o'clock hour of the Mike Novak program on Chicago's Progressive Talk.
Give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run around.
And we are back. Welcome to the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Obviously, I am not Mike Novak, but I am Lisa Albrecht, and I am here with Sarah Batka, Rob Kartal, Carol Brewer, and Jenny Shooter as we fill in for Mike while he is out of town. And so we are running the show today with Team Novak. Or did you call us Green Team?
Who's the Green Team?
Called it the Green Team on the intro. So welcome back. We actually have shifted everybody around in the studio, and right now we're happy to welcome Michael Bush, who is the shop manager at Westtown Bikes. How do you pronounce, Michael, the retail side?
It is Ciclo Urbano.
Ciclo Urbano. And with him is Anthony Cruz, who is a graduate of the program that we're about to talk about and has just been promoted to full-time junior mechanic. So welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it, Lisa.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, why don't you scoot on up, Anthony, and we'll share that mic.
Climb on in.
So thank you so much for coming, you guys. I really appreciate it. And I invited Michael Bush with us today. I met him in the Chicago Master Gardener program. So thank you so much for coming. And I understand that you guys met also doing an urban agriculture program. Is that right?
That is true. Anthony, do you want to talk about?
Yeah. So like two summers ago, I was like in a summer apprentice program in Westtown. And like part of the program was like doing urban agriculture and recycling. And I met him taking recyclables to the Green Center of Technology.
Oh, right, over at CCGT.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we also did some runs to Patchwork Farms.
Pull right up to that mic. There we go.
Pardon me.
Yeah, we gotcha.
We also did some work for Patchwork Farms, which is an independently owned farm in Humboldt Park. A couple of our friends run. We built some compost units. We did some weeding and some mulching and did everything by bicycle.
That's fantastic. That's so fantastic. I love how you integrate the sustainability and the combination with transportation and gardening. I love
and
it.
And make a full picture. Yeah.
So we had just had the Puerto Rican Day Parade. Did you guys do anything for the parade?
Well, I was working at Ciclo Urbano, and the parade was immediately outside our door. So we would stop outside and see the floats, you know, and wave to the people we knew in the parade. And, you know, we had a good time. We had a big barbecue outside of the shop and for the kids in the neighborhood. So, yeah, we had a nice time.
It was huge. I was over at Christy Weber and didn't realize that the parade was going on, and that is right. And the heart of it, too, trying to get over there was a bit of a nightmare. Of all the days I decided to pick, I decided to, you know, be in Humboldt Park during Puerto Rican Parade. Yay.
It's like trying to cross Western during Toys for Tots.
Right, right. Or the marathon.
It is definitely a wild time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so can you tell us a little bit about Westtown Bikes and kind of your mission and what it is that you guys do for the community? Because it seems like a fantastic service.
Well, Westtown Bikes is a nonprofit organization that focuses on youth programming in the community. So, like, you know, they have programs after school for the youth to come in after school. They work on bikes from 3:30 to 6 on Monday and Fridays. There's bike club. And in the summer, they do bike club as well. And, like, other programs, they go on field trips. You know, like, they go to Rays. I went to Rays when I was in bike club. It's a mountain bike park. You know, they go on field trips, raise money.
Where is that?
It's in Milwaukee.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
And then every Saturday, the kids in bike club, they do a used bike sale to raise funds for whatever it is they want to do during the summer, which is pretty cool. And before I worked with Ciclo Urbano, I used to run that used bike sale.
Oh, okay. And so are those donated bikes that people have just...
Yeah.
And do they need to be working, or is that something that you guys, if somebody has a non-working bike, you will take...
So how the bike sale runs is, like, the donated bikes come in, and during bike club on Mondays and Fridays, they have the kids who come and participate work on them. So, like, that's how they learn the mechanic skills. And okay. Then on Saturday, they sell them, like, you know, cheap as is.
Rob, did
I was wondering, this probably happens, you probably hear about this once in a while, my bicycle was just stolen from my locked basement, and that's a drag, but I'm looking to pick up a, you know, I want to get a bike, it doesn't have to be great, something I can work on. You guys have, like, bikes I can try out?
So, Ciclo Urbano, yeah, we sell bikes new and used, and all of our bikes come with the same warranty, which is 60 days of free adjustments and a 6-month tune-up, yeah, they're all completely reserviced, new tires, new chains, new cables and housing. and we stand very strongly behind the work that we do. So I think I think we're very cautious about having the idea that we're a nonprofit be used as an excuse for shoddy work or anything like that. We're one of the best service shops in the city.
So the service team, so you are supervising then the youth that get into the program and teaching them how to, and then I assume you kind of do kind of a quality check to look over and make sure that they got...
We have a system of checks and balances for everyone. So everyone learns to check everyone else's bikes, and everyone's bikes get checked, even mine. And that's very important to the process, so that everyone is kind of looking after everyone else, if that makes sense.
And how do kids get enrolled into the program? Like, how do you determine, like, how many applicants do you have? How many can you have in the program at a given time? Are there capacities?
That's a good question. So a lot of our programs go on at schools, and a lot of those take place through After School Matters, which is a state-funded program. And After School Matters does a number of different programming things. You know, some of them are gardening programs, some of them are video production programs. I bet there's some radio production ones, and we happen to run a number of bicycle programs at high schools and grade schools throughout Chicago. And those are, I don't know if you'd say open enrollment, but we go to schools and we recruit. And so, you know, we do interviews, and sometimes there's lots of demand, and sometimes there's some competition to get in, and sometimes we have a harder time
filling those slots.
So it depends. And then the drop-in programs at the shop are also kind of first come, first serve.
It's like you walk in. If the shop gets full, then
right.
You know, if there's no more stands, then I guess you could hang out or whatever.
And so that's if you want to bring your own bike or your buddy's bike or something and come in and use the tools there, so that you can work on, so that the youth that are involved in the program can work on other people's bikes. So.
Well, yeah, and usually the kids who are dropping into open shop or to bike club rather, there are pretty regimented things that they need to do in order to earn the rewards that they will eventually have. So in other words, kids who come in for the first time are sweeping floors, they're doing organization, they're
cleaning the kitty litter.
Got a house cat?
Yeah, we have two.
Okay. That's great.
So there's a lot of grunt work to be done. And, you know, part of what we teach is a lot of job skills and a lot of soft skills, meaning, like, you have to know that you're not immediately going to get to do the really fun, cool stuff. You've got to build a reputation there. And it's a little bit of a meritocracy, I would say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think that's great because I think that it's a rude awakening, I think, to a lot of kids when either they leave high school or they leave college and they, you know, realize that, you know, if I'm going to be a law clerk, I'm going to spend the first year photocopying.
Totally.
And I'm not going to do anything much more exciting than that.
Or glamorous.
Right. And so, Sarah, if I was to sign up for one of your programs, would I have to weed for?
Everybody's got to weed. Everybody's got a weed.
So, Anthony, why did you want to do this? I mean, I'm sure you're busy with school and studies. Why did you get involved in the program other than meeting Michael?
Oh, well, like, I got involved with Westtown Bikes, period, like, just because I see all these people riding bikes and stuff. And then I met, you know, the youth instructor there, Lebster Pabon, and I'm like, I want one of them bikes like that, you know? And he's all like, you know, well, come to Westtown Bikes on Division and Campbell for 16 days without missing a day and I'll build a bike for you or whatever. So whoa. I started off at Westtown Bikes doing an Earn a Bike program.
Okay.
It was pretty dope.
Wow. So you show up 16 days in a row.
Yeah, 16 days without missing.
Prove that you have a commitment, that you're going to do what you say you're going to do.
Pretty much. Do all the grunt work for 16 days.
That's great. And then how many hours would you be there for during those 16 days? I mean, was this in the summer or was this in the school
year?
Yeah,
it was in the summer. So okay. it really happened during bike club. So it was always from 3 to 6.
Okay. Great. Well, so now you're... I assume are close to work. So one of the big things that happened in Chicago this week was Bike to Work. So I would imagine that your commute was not very long.
No, every day's Bike to Work day.
Every day's Bike to Work
every day.
And how long are you riding your bike?
I live about 4 miles from the shop.
Okay. So time-wise, what does that take in the city?
It depends on how fast I want to go.
20 minutes or so? Or I suppose traffic and stuff too.
Yeah, 20 minutes or so.
So the reason I ask is we have a contest for our listeners right now. So I hope everybody's paying attention. So for all the folks that were out there this week for Bike to Work Week, we are going to have a contest right now. And what we thought we would do is take the first 5 callers and the longest distance is going to win a prize. Sarah, would that happen to be our prize?
This is a little bike bell. That I got at Lester's Tour de Fat. And so we'll be giving that away today for longest commute.
All right.
Longest Bike to Work Week commute.
So for folks that bike to work this week, and we're going to take the first 5 callers at 773-763-9278. Again, that's 773-763-9278. And Sarah, that's a great segue. So Tour de what?
Tour de Fat.
Tour de Fat. All right, so what is Tour de Fat?
Well, Tour de Fat is a big festival put on by the New Belgian Brewing Company, which is a San Francisco company, and they do it in a number of different cities.
Aren't they in Colorado, I thought?
Am I wrong?
I think they're Colorado. Fort Collins?
My bad.
Okay, yes. Fort Collins is in Colorado, unless there's another Fort Collins.
Pardon me. A Colorado company that does this festival in a number of different cities around the country. And it is a bicycle-themed festival, kind of with a lot of carnival sort of imagery. And
it's super wacky, family fun, bicycle-themed good times. This year it's on a Saturday, July 13th. So listeners, mark your calendars. And it's going to be in Palmer Square, and they bring in tents, entertainment. We've got Muka Paza, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Mm-hmm. This wonderful, wacky marching band. There's a bicycle parade, and it's all a fundraiser for Westtown Bikes.
Yes, it is our biggest fundraiser of the year, and everyone should come. It's a wonderful time.
Well, I just wanted to put that number out there again. So for folks who participated in Bike to Work Week this week, and even if it's not necessarily downtown Chicago, but you bike to work, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure to call us right here at 773-763-9278. That's 773-763-9278. Sarah, you brought in a crazy hat today.
I did.
For Tour de Fat.
Now, explain, my Tour de Fat hat.
Explain why that is. I'm not connecting the dots here.
So everybody wears wacky costumes. The wackier, the better. Hats, crazy outfits, as long as it doesn't get tangled in your wheels.
Okay.
But you dress up, and it's such a fun afternoon event. It's free to attend. You can bring your kids. It's family friendly. And they have my favorite thing that I saw last year, like a bicycle-powered misting tent because it was so hot. Mm. And so you take turns pedaling for each other and misting. And how about the bike corral? That's also a lot of fun.
Lots of.
What is the bike corral?
Like wonky bikes, like a three-wheeled bike or double-decker bikes that you can ride.
So now, is it an actual ride or is it a destination and people with bike enthusiasts come to it, or is it a ride that has an end party, if you will?
It's more of a destination.
More of a destination.
They do a parade in the morning, and all the information is available on their website, and that's New Belgium. Got to be 21, of course, to access the website. But it's so much fun, and I hope that listeners will come out for July 13th and support the event.
And we have that link as well on the Mike Novak website, which is mikenovak.net. That's N-O-W-A-K.net. And you can find the link there. So we are looking for 5 callers for people who bike to work. The winner of the bell is going to be the person who rode the longest to work. And so give us a call at 773-763-9278. What's the difference between Ciclo Urbano and West End Bike? I'm still not grasping.
So West Town Bikes is the nonprofit organization, and Ciclo Urbano is the full-service retail shop of West Town Bikes. So the comparison I use is if you've ever been to the Old Town School of Folk Music, inside of the Old Town School of Folk Music is the Different Strummer Music Shop.
Oh, okay.
And so Ciclo Urbano is the retail shop, like the Different Strummer is the music shop.
Okay.
So, and the kids who get to work in Ciclo are kind of the privileged few. They're the cream of the crop. They are the best mechanics, the ones who are most committed, and the ones who have been best groomed in order to work in Ciclo Urbano.
Oh, okay. So you really kind of have to earn that spot.
Yes.
So if somebody wanted to find you, Michael, how will they get in touch?
Stopping by the shop is a really good way, and a good way of stopping, depending on who you're talking about. If you're talking about kids who want to come and be part of our programs, coming by for Bike Club, which is Mondays and Fridays, 3 to 6 during the summer.
Where at?
At 2459 West Division in Chicago's historic Humboldt Park neighborhood. Or stopping by Ciclo Urbano any day. We're open now 7 days a week, 11 to 7 during the week, 11 to 6 on Friday, Saturday, and 11 to 5 on Sunday. And we also have open shop times where you can come and work on your own bicycle back in the classroom, and that's Tuesday nights from 7 to 10 and Saturdays from noon to 6. And that's a really fun, supportive time when people can hang out.
I love it that you have evening hours, mm-hmm. 7 to 10. That's awesome.
We also have a women and trans night, which is Wednesday nights from 7 to 10 as well.
Yeah, so what is that? I saw that on the website as well, women and trans.
So it's an attempt to offer a space for women and transgendered folks who frequently don't feel all that comfortable in a bike shop space. I think a lot of people feel a little bit alienated by what they feel is a sort of masculinist culture in bike shops. And so we've tried to sort of cut out a space where people can be to not have those same pressures. And so it's all women hosted. We have Carmelita Sams is one of our terrific mechanics in Ciclo Urbano, and she hosts Women's Night. And it's open to any woman or transgendered person who'd like to stop by and learn how to work on bicycles.
That's great. That's on Wednesdays?
Wednesdays from 7 to 10.
That's great. Well, and what about some of the workshops? Because I will admit, I haven't got a clue. When it comes to maintenance on my bike, I mean, I hear sounds and I'm like, boy, I hope that sound goes away. Mm-hmm. But so I see that you guys also offer workshops for, is it for the general public? I mean, would I be able to come and take a class to learn basic
on Wednesday
mechanics?
Nights?
Yeah, Lisa.
Well, that's Wednesday nights are, and Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays are open shop time. So there are folks around to help you work on your own bicycles, but it's mostly focused on sort of a DIY kind of ethic. In other words, it's not a class. However, we do offer classes. We offer an 8-week build a bike class where you learn how to break down every part of your bicycle and put it back together and tune everything. And that's on a rotating basis. If you look at our calendar on the website, you can see when the next one of those is starting. And we also offer a basic bicycle maintenance class, which is Monday evenings. Not every Monday evening. I'd have to look at the calendar, but that's pretty frequently offered.
Wow. And their website is westtownbikes.org.
And with that, we're going to run to... Oh, Denny, do you have a question?
I was just going to say, we got two people on hold for this contest. And, you know, we're looking for three more, right? Three more callers. Taking the five callers.
Yeah, and I know I saw a lot of people on bikes this week, so...
Well, let's check in with them.
Where's that bell? Ring that bell. Listen to this thing. Listen to this bell, people. You can win that bell. All you got to do is call up 773-763-9278. Do you think you rode to, to ride the work?
Rode the longest.
To work? The commute?
The commute.
Do you think you ride the longest to work? Out of anybody listening right now, you call us up. 773-763-9278. And hey, maybe you do, and maybe you'll win that bell. Hit that bell again.
And with that, we'll be right back.
Yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And let Milorganite, an eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer, help you accomplish your gardening goals. Start by adding several inches of organic matter to the top 6 to 12 inches of soil. Peat moss, compost, and other organic materials improve drainage in heavy clay soil and increase the water-holding ability of sandy soils. Incorporate Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer into all your planting beds. The low nitrogen formula makes it goof-proof so you won't harm young, tender plants. The slow-release formula provides small amounts of fertilizer over time, encouraging overall growth without preventing flowering and fruiting. And properly prepared soil will help your plantings better survive the heat, drought, and pest attacks of summer. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
If you haven't been to Chalet Nursery this year, well, it's time you made the journey to the corner of Skokie Boulevard and Lake Avenue in Wilmette. The first thing you should do is say hi to Jennifer Brennan. She's a very nice lady. She's Mike's co-host on their TV show Dig in Chicago. Then you check out next week's workshops, the popular Summer Containers for Sun or Shade, held at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday evening, Friday morning at 10 a.m., and Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Reservations and a $54.99 fee required. But it does include plants, pot, soil, and fertilizer. If you have any insects or diseases, you should take them to the Diagnostic Center, where Jennifer will help to solve the problem. Like I said, she's a nice lady. Enjoy the cool tool microscope in the process. And if you're ready to get your vegetable garden started, and it's not too late, Chalet has a great selection of edibles and herbs. Chalet is located in Wilmette at the corner of Skokie Boulevard and Lake Avenue. It's just 10 minutes north of the Edens-Kennedy Junction. Go to ChaletNursery.com. Chalet is a proud sponsor of Dig in Chicago.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at RiverNorthWellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
And we are
are back. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I am not Mike Novak. Mike is not here today. We are filling
in for
the
over.
Dream Team. We've locked the door. Nobody can get in. There's nothing as mayhem. We can do whatever we want. This is Lisa Albrecht. I am here with
Sarah Batka.
And
Rob Carthol.
And in the booth, we have
Carol Brewer.
All right. And Denny is, of course, on the boards helping us out here. And in studio right now, we are talking to Michael Bush
and Anthony Cruz at Westown Bikes. And we've got two callers holding for our contest. Maybe, Carol, can we check in?
Absolutely. We've got Sri on line one and Mike on line two.
We got Sri on line one right now. Sri, are you there?
I am there.
Thanks for waiting for us. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. I'm actually heading to see my dad right now.
Okay, great. Give him our love.
I will.
Okay, tell us about your bike to work week experience.
So I'm actually calling on behalf of my husband. He bikes from Chicago, Illinois to Melrose Park, Illinois every morning.
Whoa, wow,
and back, yeah. So he's an avid biker and also
even in the winter?
Does some volunteering for a local bike shop as well.
Which bike shop?
It's called Working Bikes.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Yep. So, yes, I'm not sure. Does this work in terms of the contest?
I think it works. It's Father's Day. He can have the day off of not having to call in on his own.
We got one more caller.
We have another caller, so we don't know if you're a winner, but we do need to check in.
Let's see.
Okay, so please stay on the line. And what's your husband's name?
Nicholas.
Okay, great.
Okay, great. So let's go to Mike, who's in Chicago.
Hello.
Oh, Mike, are you there?
Hello, yes, I am.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Tell us about your bike to work week.
I start on the north side of Chicago, close to Mather High School, 5600 North. I actually work at Vaughn Occupational Prep, where I'm actually, it's a very interesting show to me because I'm thinking of starting a bike club for our kids. We have students with mild to moderate cognitive delay, and I want to teach them safety and minor repair. So this sounds like something we could maybe at some point tap into the Westmont skills and resources. So I'm going to get in touch with them at some time in the future. But in terms of my bike ride, I go to Montrose and Central from the north side. And then from there, I tutor at night in Hyde Park. So it's a 26-mile round trip for the whole ride on those days that I tutor. And then the other days, it's just 10 miles round trip from my house to school.
Is your school in the Humboldt, close to the Humboldt Park area? Portage Park?
Portage Park neighborhood, yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe we could connect you with a mentor or somebody at Westown Bikes that might be able to guide you through the process of setting up a bike club and offer some ideas.
Mm-hmm. And I did bike through the winter along the lakefront, wiped out a few tens on the ice, but no injuries.
Good to hear.
No blood.
Good to hear. All right, so those are two contestants that we have. We were hoping for a couple more. So if folks want to give us a call, we've got just a couple minutes here, 773-763-9278.
So out of these two, who was out of
these two? You know, I think we need to Google. I don't know where Melrose Park is. It sounds kind of far to me. I think we need to Google map that.
So I'm one step ahead of you, and that's what I did.
All right, Carol, how many miles do we have there?
So the first one was 13.6 miles.
One
that's
way.
Nicholas.
I did one way.
That's one way.
That was Nicholas.
And Mike just told us he's 26 miles round trip. We have a tie.
I Googled Mike from Montrose and Central to Hyde Park, and that was 17.4.
Oh, you might just be edging him out.
So Mike's got a...
By the width of a tire.
Mike's got Nick beat.
We've got Mike in first place, I think.
Okay, so let's see here. Wife of Nicholas?
Yes.
All right, it looks like we got someone who's rode a little farther, but we thank you very much for giving us a call. Keep listening, okay?
And tell Nicholas happy Father's Day. All right, thank you. All right,
thanks for listening.
Okay, so 17, that's the one?
It looks like...
That's the number to beat.
That's the number to beat.
All right.
So there's a lot of new things going on in Chicago. I've seen a lot of the new bike trails. I noticed some new paint on the sidewalk these days, especially in the crosswalks. I think one of the things that may be lacking at that still is some education around those bike lines, particularly for drivers and how they're supposed to navigate. Yes. Because yesterday, I have to admit, I did not know as a driver what I was supposed to do. I needed to turn into a business, and it was part of the bike lane. Can you give folks tips on how are we supposed to navigate some of those new posts and signs and paint on the ground?
That's a good question. And I like that you framed it the way that you did. I actually used to work for the Active Transportation Alliance in Chicago and also for the Department of Transportation for a short time, going out and educating kids in different schools and in driver's ed classes about how to navigate around pedestrians and cyclists. And I think a lot of advocacy right now, especially with Active Trans and other big advocacy organizations, are focused on infrastructure. And infrastructure definitely has a huge part to play. And you can see statistically that it shapes the way that cities work and that it is probably the fastest way of getting more people on bikes, because it's obvious that that bicycling is more accepted when there's big bicycles painted on the street. But you're absolutely right that if you do that without talking to drivers about what that means and about the place of bicyclists, then there's a real problem with it. I guess something, you know, the first step is just letting drivers know that bicyclists belong on the street. I don't know if everyone in the city of Chicago knows, but if you're over the age of 12, you are legally obligated to ride in the street. You can't ride on the sidewalk after the age of 12.
In the same direction as the traffic.
As the traffic,
that is absolutely
yes.
true. And so, yeah, what I'd like to see, I'll speak for myself as opposed to all cyclists or anything like that, is education. And, you know, this is something that we work on at Westtown Bikes, education of people in general starting at an earlier age. So, we may not be able to get to every one of the old timers that are riding their bikes to go fishing down by the lake or whatever like that are zigging and zagging in and out of traffic, who've been carving their way out in awful city traffic for many, many years. But we can get to the kids who are now learning, who are maybe, you know, learning before they even get their driver's licenses. I guess we would like to see driver's education be more framed like transportation education or civic education, where you have a sense of what it is to be a pedestrian and be responsible as a pedestrian, and what it is to be responsible as a bicyclist and as a car driver, and how all of those things, everyone should sort of share some responsibility. But the onus really is on car drivers, because cars are so much more dangerous, and you know, being distracted as a driver is so much more hazardous than being distracted as a pedestrian or as a bicyclist. So, you know, really going a little bit slower and just paying attention to signs that you may not have seen before, and recognizing that the city is trying very hard and doing a good job of reminding us of laws that have existed for a long time, such as pedestrians, when pedestrians are in a crosswalk, they have the right of way whether there's a stop sign or not. And now we're seeing lots of signs that give pedestrians that right of way that will say, like, state of Illinois law, you know, requires you to stop. And people are beginning to do that sort of thing. But I suppose that was a very protracted answer.
No, that's
to your
question. But I do think that we are probably in a time of transition in Chicago, because Sarah was really excited about Divvy Bikes, which is a new bike share program. I know New York has launched it. They're pretty prevalent in Europe, but really kind of coming across the pond to it's a bike rental service, which, yeah. Sarah, do you want to?
From what I understand, is that you purchase a membership. I think it's $75. To belong in the group, and there's bicycle stations. I think they were going to roll out 20 in the month of June, and that you would have a credit card that would the first half hour is free, so you can ride a bicycle to either finish your commute from the train to get to your place of business. So the first half hour is free, and then it would begin to charge you for additional time. But it's a bike sharing program. You can return it to any station at all. You don't have to take a reservation or anything.
Right. So I know they've had a couple bumps in the road, and we'll be launching that. But I think we definitely need to keep our eyes open for more and more bikes on the city, which is a great thing. And we've actually got a comment from Richard on line one. Richard.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day.
And Dan,
happy Father's Day to you.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thank you. Southwest Side, roughly Archer and Pulaski.
We have a wonderful resource here, the Ship Canal, that runs southwest through Chicago. But this whole southwest side, beginning from Halstead to Harlem, is devoid of any bicycle paths. Mm. And with Bike to Work Week, et cetera, it's very difficult to get from, say, Brighton Park, Archer Heights, McKinley Park, Garfield Ridge, elsewhere. Beginning at Harlem going west, we have bicycle paths in the forest preserves. But from Harlem going east, there's nothing there. And like I said, we have the wonderful resource here along the Stevenson Expressway, which they built right on top of the I&M Canal. I was a member of the Active Transportation Alliance when it was the Chicago Bicycle Federation years ago, and I saw my donations going to redoing the lakefront path multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
What we need here on the southwest side, I figure it's about 20% of the Chicago population. We need a bicycle path. There's talk of the Whole Foods coming in to the southwest side, Archer Heights, maybe Garfield Ridge. So it's an up-and-coming area, but, you know, even with the coal-fired power plants now, you know, history, the area here is fantastic. We just need a way to ride our bicycles, not on Archer Avenue, et cetera. So is there anything that can be done, or is there anything that we can do as residents of the southwest side to encourage the development of a off-road bicycle trail?
Now, that's a great question. Michael?
Well,
any ideas?
I'll clarify that I don't work presently for the Active Transportation Alliance or for the Department of Transportation, and that my my experience there was relatively limited. But, you know, talking to your alderman obviously mm-hmm. is a big thing, and talking to Active Trans is a great thing also. And I do know that a lot of bike lanes are going in on the south side, and that they're doing they're redeveloping a lot of, you know, I can't speak to specific areas, really. I don't have any information about that personally.
I would say, Richard, if you can start with your alderman and then maybe some of the local bike shops to see if you can get some power behind the conversation. And I think that's definitely something that's needed as we continue to grow. We'd like to run back to Mike, our contestant. I was going to say contest winner, but until I bring you back, now I'm going to say our contest winner. Mike, congratulations.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So thank you for riding your bike and keeping our environment clean and safe. We appreciate it. And so we're going to get you this bell from
New Belgium Brewery.
Brewery.
Hopefully we'll be able to see you out at Tour de Fat on July 13th.
So Carol will take your info and we'll get that popped in the mail. And with that, we're going to run to a quick break.
I'm Jennifer Brennan, the smart one.
And I'm Mike Novak, the pretty one.
We're the co-hosts of Dig In Chicago.
Chicago Television's only local gardening and cooking show.
And we're thrilled to be back for our second season offering gardening tips and tours.
Plus local chefs and local dishes.
Saturday mornings at 8:30.
And this year we're on the U2 channel, 26.2.
See you there. I've got to go check the soil pH.
Oh, I just got beet juice on my khakis.
Mike Novak thought it'd be a great weekend to get out of town, but I can't keep away from my garden around this time of year. I can't wait to get out of the studio and see how my new raised beds or my rain garden are looking today. And the next time I come up with a bright idea for my community garden, or any of my community gardens, you can bet I'm heading over to Lake Street Supply to pick up whatever I decide I need. Boulders, pebbles, juniper timbers, locally sourced soils and composts, organic fertilizers, amendments. Lake Street Supply is the place to go when you want to do landscaping right. Lake Street Supply is also an authorized Unilock dealer. For the best selection in pavers and retaining walls, choose Unilock, designed to connect. For hours and directions, visit lakestreetsupply.com. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Lake Street Supply, a thoughtful approach to landscape supply.
And we are back. It is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago Progressive Talk. And I just want to say thank you so much to Michael and Anthony for being in studio. It was great. And keep teaching those kids, and let's keep getting people on the streets of Chicago on two wheels and not four.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks.
Such a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks so much for being in studio. And with that, let's see. We're going to bring in Michael Webb in a moment from Inspiration Cafe. But first, a piece from Bonide from sorry, let me grab myself here. Arrgh, Plant Press, throw them overboard with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew from Bonide, an organic way to protect plants from critters like caterpillars, beetles, spider mites, boars, and more without having to cast any spells. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew is not only effective on all types of pests, but it's safe to spray directly on your affected plant. Use it on vegetables, flowers, berries, trees, shrubs, and fruit. The Bonide product is available on Court Ready to Use, Court Ready to Spray, with a hose and sprayer attachment for easy application, a concentrate if you prefer to mix your own, and a dust. As always, always read and follow label directions. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at these finer retailers: Knooper Nursery in Palatine, Prozac Garden Center in Winfield, Tholen's Garden Center in Bourbonnais and Kankakee, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you and download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid. And we are back. It is Lisa Albrecht here with Sarah, Rob, Carol, and Denny as we are filling in for Mike. And we are excited to bring in Michael Webb from Inspiration Cafe. And is it always mirrored also with Inspiration Kitchen? Are they separate and distinct, or does one typically follow the other when you're introducing you guys?
Well, actually, it's Inspiration Corporation is actually our corporate headquarters.
Uh-huh.
And the Inspiration Kitchens is a part of Inspiration Corporation.
Oh, okay, got it. I'm going to hand you this if you'd like. Well, welcome. So, Michael, you've been with them for quite a while now, is that correct?
Since 2007.
Wow, that's remarkable. And I have not had the pleasure of eating over at the Garfield Kitchen, but I've heard it's amazing food. Not only do you cook food there, you teach people food skills, and you grow in local garden. Is that?
That's correct. Right? Yeah, we have a 13-week culinary arts training. We work with individuals coming from all walks of life, incarceration, homelessness, domestic violence, people with barriers to employment.
Wow.
We work with them and then assist them to find employment in the culinary arts.
Well, that's really amazing, because I know with that that segment of population, job training programs are tough to find, and it's tough to help people get back on their feet and find a new direction in life.
That's one of the things I like about the culinary industry, is that it's so forgiving, mm-hmm. that people who do have obstacles have a past.
Mm-hmm.
It allows them to enter into an industry where, yeah, they might enter into the lower sectors, but they can work their way up.
Right. So yeah. Just like we were kind of talking with the bikes, you know, coming in, learning to sweep, learning to, you know, clean the litter box, starting the ground up, and then learning. Mm-hmm. And then how far can you get within your program? I mean, what are the various steps that an individual would learn if they were studying culinary arts?
Well, pretty much we focus a lot on the attitude, the habits, the things that make a person successful in that industry. So they're going to learn the knife skills. They're going to learn recipe prep. They're going to learn how to read prep sheets, how to work around the kitchen. But we found that what's really important is that they have to be able to function within that industry, because employers are looking for people who they can rely on, people mm-hmm. who are responsible, who can accept criticism, people who just simply have qualities that make it easy to work with them.
So I would imagine that a good part of what you're teaching not only is to work with the food and the culinary, but the softer skills of how to work with others, how to be a team player, how to take direction.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right.
We have employers who say that if they can get the right person, they'll train them. They mm-hmm. will do whatever they can to keep that person. They just simply need to have those qualities.
Right. So, Rob, you have a great deal of experience, right, with Inspiration Kitchens. You've been there, and
I've been. I've been over there. Certainly, I had a catfish po' boy there a couple of weekends ago. It was pretty tasty. And I've also been Michael and Anna Maria over there have been doing. You guys have been doing workshops and training in permaculture, and I think that the one of the great things about the kitchen is not just the work that you're doing with individuals, which is great, but also that you're growing your produce there, and it's all organic. It's like based on permacultural principles, and you know, I'll say this on the air. I've said this before that I've been, you know, community gardener, master gardener, doing all this stuff for a while. But, you know, I've learned this year just like some common sense things that were just like little light bulbs going off. Like, I never really thought about using cover crops in that way or something that is just like really just kind of bringing all these ideas together in a very straightforward way that's, you know, easy, but it's good for... It's good for everything.
So I'm going to say I have no idea really what permaculture is. I've heard the word, and here
so
I am on
a
gardening radio show, and I'm going to say I don't know what that word means. Mm-hmm. What does that word mean, Michael?
Well, up to a little while ago, I didn't know either. I got exposed to it through a lady named Anna Maria Joyce Leon, who is really a force on the west side of Chicago, who's really transforming a lot of gardening and what people are doing and how they're thinking about gardening. But permaculture is really permanent agriculture. So it really is trying to address the needs of food production in a way that says, let's establish more permanent structures. So as an example in our garden, a couple of years ago, she said, well, put a tree in. And I'm like, no, I'm not putting a tree in a garden. Now we have several trees in the garden. And I'm very happy.
So
that
she is
we
a
did.
Powerful force.
She is a powerful force. As well as other permanent kinds of structures. And what I mean by that, I mean plantings, like raspberries. We have elderberry. We have chokeberry. We have things that each year will provide us crops without having to put in this initial investment year after year after year. And I'm loving it.
I've never thought about them as a perennial food, but yes, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. It's really the way to go, and we're going in that direction much, much more. Uh-huh. Right now we've got three gardens, and to try to work three gardens with limited numbers of people can be very difficult. But
Well, and how many people do you have in the program? What's the kind of your capacity of both within the 13-week training as well as just running the kitchens themselves?
Well, that's actually
two
separate things that are going on. The Culinary Arts, a 13-week training, that is one program. That's a primary program, and I'm the case manager for that. So my function is to recruit and to assist them to get through the training and successfully complete and then find employment. The gardening component is something that I do as add-on.
Okay.
And so it's myself, and then we work with volunteers who help us to do all the planting, weeding, everything that goes on in a garden.
So people can volunteer to come over and give you guys a hand?
Absolutely, yes.
And are these community gardens in the Garfield Park area, or where are your gardens located? Are they right near the kitchens?
They're right near the kitchens. They're actually right by the restaurant.
At 3504 West Lake Street.
Thank you, Sarah.
Sarah's got it.
And we also have one in Fulton. Fulton, St. Louis, 3501 West Fulton. And we're also sort of gardening some of the Al Raby gardens that were abandoned when they ran out of funding.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. So if people wanted to get in touch with the kitchens, with Inspiration Corporation, I can learn, with Inspiration Corporation in order to either volunteer or participate in the program, or even if I, you know, want to go to the restaurants, how can I get more information?
Well, the restaurant is a full-service restaurant catering facility. So the
breakfast, lunch, dinner?
Lunch, dinner,
okay. Mm-hmm.
So individuals could contact the restaurant, call, or just simply come in. It's 3504 West Lake Street. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful place to eat. If you're interested in learning more about the Culinary Arts Training Program or gardening, then they could actually just send me an email at mweb@inspirationcorp.org.
mweb@inspirationcorp.org.
Is that two B's?
Yes.
W-E-B-B.
Correct.
W-E-B-E. So let's say that again because I think we just destroyed it. If anyone's not confused, call us at 773-768. What's your email address again, please?
It's mweb with two Bs at inspirationcorp.org.
Okay, great. Nice. And then you'll be able to point them in the correct direction.
Absolutely.
All right, fantastic. Well, Michael, we're going to take a quick break here. We need to pay the bills and make sure that we get some business taken care of, but we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. As we get into summer, you might want to put together a to-do list for your trees and shrubs. For instance, now's the time to prune trees and shrubs that flowered this spring. Now's also the time to get elm injections for Dutch elm disease. Inspect your deciduous trees, the ones that shed their leaves in the fall, for summer mites. Be careful not to injure the roots if you're installing irrigation systems. Prune for clearances, sunlight, and air movement. Contact the Care of Trees to talk to them about their soil care applications. And as we constantly hammer home on the show, add new mulch where needed. To talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees, call 800-508-9466. That's 800-508-9466. Call that number for a free consultation. If you call today, leave a message and your call will be returned tomorrow morning. Or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Today is Dad's Day, so don't make the mistake of assuming that he just wants to sleep on the couch and pretend he's watching golf. Come on, he does that every week. A lot of dads like gardening, too, and they will appreciate the sales at Bertholdt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. Today is the last day to get flats of annuals at $13.98 each, 4.5-inch annuals at $3.50 each, and 4-inch veggies and herbs for just $1.99 each. Not only that, fruit, trees, and berries are 25% off their marked price. Fountains and bird baths are also 25% off, and ornamental crab apples are 25% off marked price. And don't forget the specials on select items in the gift shop. All of these specials are good while supplies last. Bertholdt's Garden Center is at 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front or go to bertholdtsgardencenter.com. Happy Father's Day from Bertholdt's. Get green, let's get growing.
And we are back. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. And we actually have a caller on the line that we want to go to real quick. And we have Bernie on line one.
Yeah, whoever's looking for volunteers, I had a good idea. To get hold of Sheriff Tom Dart and a lot of these people in that SWAT program might be willing to volunteer to get their time used up. And who knows, you might end up with some permanent volunteers.
Well, and Mike has a big grin on his face. Is that something you guys are doing today, is working with Sheriff Dart? I know he's pretty progressive on, you know, finding programs for folks.
Yeah, we've worked with some of the individuals come through that program. So, yeah, they do a good job.
Right, right. Thanks so
Very
much.
Very good.
Thanks so much
Thank
for
you,
a great
Barney.
Idea. Great idea. Happy Father's Day.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, Michael, thank you so much for coming in, and thank you for the good work that you do. I think we need more programs like that. It's not to, you know, overuse your name, but it's inspirational, and we definitely need paths for people who have been down on their luck, have taken a wrong turn in life, and this is, it's just great that you guys give that opportunity and true service to society. So thank you so much for all the good, hard work that you guys do.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming down to the studio. We really appreciated it.
Thank you.
So we're in the home stretch, team. We've got just a couple minutes to wrap up here. We survived 2 hours without Mike Novak. I wondered many times during the week if we'd be able to get here. I had a couple things I wanted to plug, and I think we had a couple things that we wanted to talk about. So last week on the air, I had Jim Schweitzer from Climate Reality Project come in, and I mentioned at the time that I will be delivering a climate talk on Thursday, June 21st, and that's going to be at the Preston Bradley Center, which is 941 North Lawrence. It starts at 7 o'clock. So if there are topics about climate change that you do not understand, if you are confused by the media and the misinformation that's out there, and you really want to get just a good source of the science, what's behind climate change, the data that's out there, the 98% of the peer-reviewed science that shows that climate change is happening, please come out on Thursday, and hopefully I'll be able to arm you along with my partner Drew Solomon and give you the some of those talking points, the real facts behind what's going on, why there's confusion, and what's really happening, and what we can do about it. So that'll be on Thursday, June 21st. We'll post that on the website at the Preston Bradley Center, 941. But the other thing I want to talk about is, in one of the many hats that I wear, I am on the board of directors for the Illinois Solar Energy Association. And back in December, we had Danny Kennedy come on the air. He was author of Rooftop Revolution, an Australian gentleman who started a company here in Chicago, one of the largest solar installation companies in the States, called Sungevity, and he is coming to Chicago on June 27th. I think I got my days wrong here. Yeah. It's Friday, June 21st, and okay. Thursday, June 27th.
Okay.
So erase the day part, the number is accurate. So on Thursday, June 27th, Danny Kennedy from Rooftop Revolution. He's an amazing speaker. Go to the IllinoisSolar.org website to sign up and get a ticket for that. He has done several TED Talks. He is among the many who were arrested in the Keystone Pipeline protest on President's Day in front of the National Monument and in D.C. that Mike and I went out and we did the remote broadcast to. He was there with Bill McKibben and Michael Brune from Sierra Club, and Danny Kennedy was one of the individuals that was arrested that day in protest of the Keystone Pipeline. A truly inspirational speaker. He's a former Greenpeace guy. He's been arrested multiple times enforcing environmental issues. So come out, IllinoisSolar.org. So let's see. I think we've got about a minute to go here.
Can I let the listeners know about a garden walk coming up Edgebrook on June 23rd from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And that's going to start at 6413 North Kinzua. And if you'd like more information, you can contact MJ Garner. She's at 312-406-3197. And that's the Edgebrook Garden Walk on June 23rd.
Great. Well, and we'll post and tweet. I'm not sure we were really able to do all that today as we were trying to hold down the floor.
We got some in.
Did you? Good. Thank you. I think, team, I'm so happy and thrilled that you guys are, that we are teamed together. And thank you guys for all the hard work this week, putting the website together.
Lisa, you did such a good job coordinating and your leadership is admirable. So thank you.
Oh, no, thank you, guys. I thank you, Mike, for trusting us with your precious baby. I've always appreciated how hard you work on a regular basis, but now having to try to fill your shoes and took four of us scrambling to try to pull a show together and get guests in here, get the website written, and get everything else done. So, Mike, we love you. We miss you. Aw. And so on behalf of Team Novak, we just want to say, hey, Mike,
come home.